Welcome to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast, a relaxing and informative show where we explore anxiety, panic, and PTSD, sharing how you can overcome them for life.
Aloha! Welcome back to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast. I'm your host and coach, Gina Ryan, and I am so happy to be with you again today as together we can consider the many ways to bring your mind and body back to its natural peace and calm. In today's episode, I'm talking about the gut-brain connection. We're going to talk about how stress impacts your stomach. I know I have mentioned this here and there on the show. We haven't talked about it in a while, and we have a listener question here, so I thought we would answer it. They didn't have a name attached to this question, but it's like three questions in one here. So I'll read you the question and then we'll get to answering it. How and why does stress actually affect the stomach, and why does it cause stomach problems? How is our mind connected with the stomach? And finally, when does the body begin to heal after psychological stress? All right, let's jump in here. How and why? All right. Stress triggers a physiological response. We all know this in our body, known as the fight or flight response. And that's the sympathetic side of our central nervous system, which is the body's way of preparing to deal with perceived threats. And the thing I want you to keep in mind when we're going through this stomach issues here today, this is all from perceived threats. Now, it could be that you really are in physical danger and you need to be having all of these changes in your body happen, but it could also just be from things you're thinking about. And this is why it's so important for us to know where our mind is going and where it is, and being able to actually see what it's thinking. Again, another reason to have a good meditation practice, but we're not going to get me on that soapbox today. So let's get back to this. So this is our body's way of preparing to deal with perceived threats. Because when we're stressed, the body releases hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, which can affect various bodily functions, including our digestion. And what happens in our digestion and the stomach when we are stressed is, first off, we have reduced blood flow. Stress will divert blood from the digestive system to other parts of the body involved in the stress response, leading to decreased flow to the stomach and the intestines. We also end up with increased stomach acid production because stress can stimulate the production of stomach acid, which in excess can lead to conditions like acid reflux or gastritis. We can have altered gut motility. The stress that we're perceiving can affect the contractions of the muscles in our gut, leading to symptoms like diarrhea and constipation. And we can have disruptions in our gut microbiome. Stress can alter the composition of gut bacteria, leading to an imbalance, which has been linked to various gastrointestinal disorders. And now when I've been working with people and we talk about this, when they realize their stomach issues are very much linked with the stress that they're feeling, they ask me, but why would my body do that? Why is it reducing blood flow and making more acid and so forth and so on? The body is diverting the blood flow from the stomach during stress as a part of our fight or flight response. And this is our evolutionary mechanism designed to help us respond to those perceived threats or actual danger. And when we're faced with a stressful situation, the body prioritizes the delivery of oxygen and nutrients to essential organs and tissues that are involved in the immediate response to the stressor. And isn't that miraculous? We don't have to think about that. Our body is just immediately doing like a triage and everything is put in order. And so here's what happens. We get into the survival instinct, our fight or flight, and the body will allocate its resources to organs and tissues that are involved in physical exertion or defense, such as our muscles, our heart, and lungs, at the expense of non-essential functions like digestion or reproduction. I mean, there's other things that get shut down too, but today we're talking about the digestion. And it also is doing it so that we can have energy conservation, because digestion is energy intensive and it requires a significant blood flow to facilitate the absorption of nutrients from our food. During times of stress, when the immediate energy is needed for physical activity or to deal with a perceived threat, the body conserves energy by reducing blood flow to the digestive system. It also redirects resources. By redirecting the blood flow away from the stomach and the intestines, the body can allocate those resources to other areas involved in the stress response, such as to our brain for heightened awareness and better decision making, to the heart to pump more efficiently, and to the muscles for increased strength and agility. And finally, it diverts the blood flow away from our gut for preparation for potential injury. Because during stress, the body prepares for potential injury by redistributing the blood flow to the areas that will require immediate repair or protection, such as our skin for wound healing or our extremities so we can escape. The diversion of blood flow away from the stomach during stress is a physiological adaptation that optimizes the body's response to perceived threats and enhances our survival chances in challenging situations. Now, that's how it's all built, for us to be getting away and being safe. And it didn't really consider, I guess, that we might just be thinking scary thoughts instead of really dealing with actual danger. Have you tried OneSkin for your skincare routine yet? I love the simplicity of these products and the medical grade ingredients in them, not to mention how easily they fit into my skincare routine. The OS1 Face Moisturizer and OS1 Eye Cream make skin look visibly smoother and clearer and immediately feel softer and more hydrated. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and several studies back it up. So if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, then I'm so excited to share with you OneSkin, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. OneSkin is the world's first longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ACP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ACP. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. So our listener also asked about the connection between the mind and the stomach. So it's that gut-brain axis, and it's a two-way communication system connecting our central nervous system with the gut's enteric nervous system. And this connection involves various pathways, including our good old friend the vagus nerve and the release of neurotransmitters and hormones. And so what we can have are emotion-induced responses such as anxiety, fear, and stress can influence gut function through this gut-brain axis, leading to those symptoms of butterflies in the stomach or gut feeling. We could have psychological factors impacting our digestion, mental health conditions such as anxiety and depression, and other mental health issues can affect our appetite, our digestion, and cause gastrointestinal symptoms. And again, the gut microbiome is influenced by the brain function and behavior through the production of those neurotransmitters and metabolites, affecting our mood and our stress responses. So when you think about it, the enteric nervous system, which I like to call the second brain, serves as a highly sophisticated and essential brain within the digestive system, controlling and coordinating gastrointestinal functions independently, while also interacting with the central nervous system to maintain our overall health and well-being. So they're separate, but they communicate. I mean, the more we know about this stuff, the more fun it is to think how well it's all put together. Now, our listener also asked about healing after psychological stress, which is a great question. And I wanted to address the body's ability to heal after psychological stress. And, you know, it really does depend on many factors, including the duration and the intensity of the stress, the individual's resilience, and our own coping mechanisms. So we want to pay attention to how long and how intense was the stress, because acute stress is very different from chronic stress, because we need time to repair and to heal. And when we don't have any space away from the stress, we're not healing, we're not repairing. And that's where we get into trouble with chronic stress. So I thought we could go over a general kind of timeline for healing after psychological stress. Now, we are all different. We all are very individual in our ability to heal. And what other issues do we have going on health-wise? All of this is going to play into it. But you can have short-term recovery. The body may start to recover very quickly after a stressor is removed or managed. So, see, you don't have to be completely stress-free. You don't have to say, I'm never going to feel anxious again in my life. You don't need that. You need to be able to know what to do with it and how to respond to it so that you don't go down the wormhole and live in anxiety 24/7. You can have stress, you can have anxiety that you are able to deal with. And what are some of those ways that you can remove it or work with it is through relaxation techniques. I really think that if we did this on more of a regular basis, sometimes we wait until we are completely spent before we relax, before we recover. And we don't want to wait until we're injured in order to pay attention to ourselves or have self-care. So doing things like, if you're tired, resting, do a body scan, do a short meditation with one of your apps or one that you remember, read a short piece of inspiration and close your eyes and feel it. Do a mindfulness meditation. And get support. This can actually expedite your process, getting support. And again, you know, you can pop over to our website anytime to find out more how we can support you. But long-term healing is a little bit different, because chronic stress can have lasting effects on the body. And so the healing might take longer because there may be deeper grooves that need to be filled. Engaging in Stress-reducing activities is of the utmost importance when you have long-term healing. And seeking either therapy or counseling or coaching and support, again, is crucial. You also want to be sure that you have adopted a healthy lifestyle and that you have healthy lifestyle habits that can help and aid you in this long-term healing, because it's not going to be one and done kind of thing. This is something that you are going to have to do for maybe an extended period of time. And so just know that. Don't be hard on yourself because you don't feel better next week. This is going to take some time, but you will be amazed when you look back over time. This is another reason why I like people to keep a journal, if you are one who would be willing to do that, to look back and see where you actually came from. Because we don't notice it hour to hour, day to day, even week to week. When I see clients on a weekly basis, it's like they don't see any changes whatsoever. But when we get to where we're only seeing each other once a month or something, it's amazing. It's amazing how much change happens in those 4 weeks. But again, they're living with themselves day in and day out, and they don't see the changes. But it's important to keep going. What often happens, people will adopt a healthy lifestyle. They'll get into some coaching, and they'll be doing the relaxation, mindfulness, meditations, and doing some great things for themselves. And when they don't have results in a week or even a month, if they are in a chronic stress situation that they are trying to get out of, and they get discouraged. But I have seen so many people make so many changes and have amazing life by keep putting one foot in front of the other. Even, again, looking back at maybe where you were the month before, you don't see the change yourself, but maybe if you write it down and you come back to it a month later and you say, wow, I really am in a bit of a different place. I'm going to keep going. Don't be hard on yourself because change doesn't happen right away. These long-lasting, permanent changes take time. And the other thing I want you to keep in mind for healing is your individual variability. The healing timelines vary from person to person, and some individuals may bounce back quickly, while others may require more time, more support, and I want you to be okay with that. It's when we start to worry about that or get upset about it that we put ourselves back into another stressful situation. We're stressing ourselves. Just let the timeline go. It will be when it is. And be good with that. If you are making healthy lifestyle changes and talking with someone and doing some of the things we talk about here, really getting yourself into a place where your mind and body can relax once in a while and calm down, get those moments, it will happen. Those are the places where you do the healing. And you want to have that continuous self-care. Even after the immediate effects of stress have subsided, it's essential to continue practicing self-care and stress management techniques and tools to prevent future health issues and promote overall well-being. Some people come through the other side of chronic stress and say, I never felt this good. So because we're making real health changes. Because if we go back to our old coping ways and old lack of self-care, we may end up in distress again. So I want you to be proactive. I'm so happy to be here with you again today. And I hope that if you have a question or even an issue you would like to share with me or something you'd like me to talk about, that you send me an email and maybe I can talk to you and answer your question. Send it to anxietycoachespodcast@gmail.com. And now for today's quote. The nervous system controls and coordinates all organs and structures of the human body. And that's from Grey's Anatomy. I'll be back in a few more days with another podcast. Until then, be well and aloha.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode of the Anxiety Coaches Podcast. Find more information at theanxietycoachespodcast.com.